So why call him John? Well, obviously, Zechariah and Elizabeth remembered what Gabriel had said, but the name John means God is gracious. And just how gracious God was, not merely to answer a prayer for a baby, but to answer the nation's prayer for a Saviour. No wonder then that we read that Zechariah burst out into song as well, the second original carol. We're going to look at those two songs in a moment, but just firstly, just see how kind God was to Zechariah, to Elizabeth, and to Mary. Not only did they have a private visit of an angel, but they were shown and explained why these pregnancies fitted into the great plan of redemption. They were given an explanation of what was going on. And we should remember that that's true for us today. God doesn't ask us to believe random things, but he gives us a whole story that fits together. There are many reasons to believe in Jesus the Saviour. Not simply that he was born in a miraculous way. Not simply that he grew up and lived a remarkable life. But that he was the fulfillment of all these promises that had come before. All these things to build our faith. Perhaps you are afresh to this story. I want you to see how it fits in with the bigger story of Scripture. And there are also some subtle links as well that can encourage us to see that it's true. Can you think of somebody in the Old Testament who wanted a baby but couldn't have one? And somebody who then went and prayed in a temple. And when the answer came, she burst out into a song of praise. Can you think of anybody? Some of us know, don't we? Of Hannah in the Old Testament, who prayed for a baby and then gave that baby over to serve God as a priest. And what was that priest's job? Samuel's job was to announce David. That was his great calling, to announce David, the chosen king. And so rather like this masterful piece of music, Scripture repeats that theme with Elizabeth as she prays for a baby and then is given John, dedicates John to serve God, who then points to Jesus, David's greater son. Do you see that these aren't random things? They fit together in a grand story to help us in our faith. I hope you can see that the birth of John, the birth of Jesus, aren't random things that we're meant to believe. They fit into this great narrative, this great story. And so we see these themes, these links, back to earlier events in Scripture. Well, that's just by way of introduction. Let's look more closely at these two songs, these two, what I've called the original playlist for Christmas. Mary's song is traditionally known as the Magnificat, from the Latin word verb to magnify. That's why it's got that name. Let me read it to you again. This is Mary's song, as she becomes aware of what God is doing. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul rejoices in God, my Saviour. And see the repeated theme. For he has looked on my humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. So Mary burst into this song of praise. I want us to note three things in the song. Firstly, praise to God that he used an ordinary person. Mary was overwhelmed with the privilege that she was to be the human mother of her Lord. That's why she's blessed today. That's the reason, the privilege she was given to be the human mother of Jesus. We need to realize that the idea that she was immaculately conceived is not true. It's not in the Bible. She was a sinner. That's why she prayed and rejoiced in a Savior. She's blessed because she was the human mother of Jesus. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. Just think about Mary. She's a working class young lady from a nowhere town up north. And yet God chooses her to be the mother of Jesus. Praise God that God used such an ordinary person. She was willing to be used, willing to serve, willing to obey what God had planned. And praise God then that he still uses ordinary people today. Mary saw that if she could be chosen, then anyone could. Look what she goes on to say, verse 50, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Not just her, but any who fear him, any who humbly submit to him can be used of God. So ask yourselves, do you want God to be merciful to you? Are you willing for God to use you? Then see that God uses ordinary people today. Perhaps you feel too insignificant, like Mary. Or perhaps you have the opposite. The disease of today's society is that we feel too entitled, too highly. Well, God still uses ordinary people today. He delights to show mercy to all who fear him. He doesn't look at bank balances. He doesn't look at social status. He doesn't look at experience. Rather, he takes people like Mary and he uses them in great ways. Can I encourage you that if you humble yourself before God today, he will use you. He can use you for his great plans. What a great privilege just to become a Christian. What a great privilege to be able to serve him in his church, or in anything that he calls us to do. Praise God that he still uses ordinary people like Mary, like you and like me. But praise God that he also richly blesses people like us today. Mary was small and humble, and she recognized that that was rather like her old country. The whole country of Israel was rather like Mary. Small. At that time, Israel was a vassal state against the mighty Roman Empire. And yet she thinks, God has not forgotten me, and God has not forgotten us. He had promised to send a rescuer. And so she goes on in her song to praise God that the nation has not been forgotten. Israel's long-awaited Messiah has come. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things. The rich he has sent away empty. And then she shows where that's going. He has helped his servant Israel. There's a blessing for the whole nation, not just for her. She sees that God has come to bless. God has come to give. God has come to raise up those who are small, those who perhaps feel trodden down. He has filled the hungry with good things. Now, that may mean practically, but I think there's a spiritual meaning to that as well. Mary saw that God had come and answered the prayer that his people had for blessing. Now, I don't suppose she understood quite what that meant. She was probably thinking that those in Israel could now be saved, as opposed to those in the Roman Empire. How shocking then that God was going to save those in the Roman Empire as well. God blesses ordinary people today, both in and outside of Israel, both Jew and Gentile. We see, don't we, the full expanse of this blessing. It wasn't just to those in the small state of Israel, but also those in the great empire of Rome. All who humbled themselves would find God's blessing. And so that's the same for you and me today. Wherever you've come from, whatever your past, this song of praise is yours if you submit to God, if you trust and follow him. So this first carol is a carol of praise from Mary, a humble, blessed servant of God. Is that who you are? Are you a humble, blessed servant of God? Then this is your song, isn't it? You can sing this song of praise today. Zechariah's song then repeats many of the same themes. You'd expect that, wouldn't you? He's singing about the same thing, singing about Jesus. Now, this is traditionally known as the Benedictus. Again, Latin for the phrase praise be or blessed be. So let's hear his song. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. He has spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. Three more things then to see from this carol, this first playlist of Christmas. Firstly, praise God that he keeps his promise. This is the main theme that Zechariah adds in his song. God has remembered, God has kept his promise. Way back before Zechariah, way back in the time of Abraham, God made a promise, a covenant, that he would save his people. He would protect them. He would bring them blessing. And of course, at this time, Zechariah, it's part of this small nation that have been overtaken by the Roman Empire. And so hopes for a Messiah were high. God has not forgotten his people. But again, we see the wider interpretation, the wider fulfillment of this promise. The new covenant would be bigger than the old, not only to those in the nation of Israel, but all those who would become followers of Jesus. A bigger enemy than Rome, the Roman Empire, even the great enemy of Satan, the great enemy of sin, would be defeated. How much of that Zechariah knew, we don't know. But we can see, can't we, that he saw that God had not forgotten his promise. God has made a promise today to save people from all the nations. And so that's why we can take Zechariah's song and make it our own. Praise God that he's not forgotten his promise to save and to save people like us. Praise God then that we can now come and serve him. Verse 74. Being delivered from the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. We don't serve a God who changes his mind. We don't serve a God who might accept us today and then reject us tomorrow. We serve a God who has made a promise, delivered his people, so that we might freely serve him every day in holiness and righteousness. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that is who God is? Some will know that Islam will teach you that there's an angel on each of your shoulders. One angel counts up what you do right. The other angel counts up what you do wrong. And at the end of the day, it's a matter of the maths. But that's not the good news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus has taken all the sins of his people. We are freely delivered from our enemies of death and sin. And we can now serve him freely. Not wondering whether he'll change his mind. Not wondering whether tomorrow we might be rejected. That's the full fulfillment of this great hymn of praise. Do you believe that? That's why Christmas is so special, isn't it? It reminds us that Jesus has come as the fulfillment of a promise, not simply to save one nation out of an empire, but to save a people for all times. Being delivered from the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear. Is that your desire today, to serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness? Well, you can. That's now yours by faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God that he keeps his promise. Praise God that we can now freely serve him. And finally, praise God for this dawning light of John. Zechariah closed his song with some more personal lines addressed to this baby. Now, we might think John's rather small compared to Jesus. But of course, from Zechariah's perspective, unless John came, Jesus could not come. And so we should see how we should praise God for the dawning light of John. Some of you know that years before, a promise had been made that a child would come and would go before the coming Messiah. This is what Isaiah said in chapter 40 of his prophecy. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that our warfare is ended, that our iniquity is pardoned. She has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Why? Because a voice cries in the wilderness, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now that sounds rather cryptic. What does that mean? Well, Zechariah may have understood some of it. It was saying that a forerunner would come and live in the wilderness, and that forerunner in the wilderness would point people to the Messiah. And John was that baby. John, who we call John the Baptist, as we read in the end of chapter 1, went to live out in the wilderness. Why? Because he would then call people to himself to give a message of repentance. And then he would baptize Jesus and then tell people that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so the coming of John the Baptist was the necessary precursor for the coming of Jesus. No John the Baptist, no Jesus. And so that's why Zechariah is filled with praise. He looks to this baby and he says, I realize now that your coming is the signal of Messiah's coming. So we should thank God for the birth of John the Baptist. Because if he wasn't born, there'd have been no forerunner. There'd have been no runner. There'd have been no Jesus. So Luke writes this account to set the stage for Jesus. He writes this account so that we might know the context into which Jesus is born. Two miracle babies. Wow, God can do miracles. But it's more than that. It's two miracle babies that have been promised from long ago. Two miracle babies that fit into a grand story. One comes to point to the other. John was born to point to Jesus. Jesus was born to point us back to God. And so that's what the message of Luke 1 is really all about. Mary bursts into song when she realized that she has been chosen to bring the Messiah into the world. Zechariah bursts into song as he realizes that his baby is coming to point to the Messiah as well. So we can take these songs, and if we're followers of Jesus, we can make them our own. We can understand them in the fullness of all that came after in the gospel. So, let me conclude by asking you this. Is this your song? Can you take the words of Mary and sing them yourself? Can you take the words of Zechariah and sing them from your heart? Will you magnify God this Christmas? Will you sing praise be to God? Well, if you do, then you've understood what Christmas is all about. Let's pray together now. Father, we thank you for Luke. Thank you that he was able to write this orderly account. Thank you that he has shown these two miracle babies in their context as a fulfillment of your great plan to save a people for your praise. And Lord, we take Mary's song and we sing it ourselves. That just as you used a small, insignificant person like Mary, so you use small, insignificant people like us. And we say, Lord, here we are. Take and use us for your glory's sake. We thank you that we can sing like Zechariah of your covenant-keeping faithfulness, that you keep your promises. You sent John, and you've sent Jesus. And Lord, we add our praise to Zechariah's song. Lord, we thank you that we see something of the greatness of Christmas in these two original carols. These two original songs of praise. And we pray, Lord, that that would stay with us, fill our hearts with joy, shape us as we go out to live the rest of our days for you. Hear us, we pray. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.